Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another Read the Word. This is the life and study of Jesus and his ministry. And, you know, what's cool about this is most of Jesus' life we get to read three times.
Mm-hmm.
Doing it this way. You're reading it three times because you're getting it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So usually all three of them have it, but sometimes they don't. But so we're getting to hear the same word three times. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so, welcome. Glad to have you here tonight. Share this with your family, your friends. And as we say, share it with your enemies. I hope you don't have any, but
amen.
We're learning that in the day that we live, it's not too difficult to end up with a couple enemies. And people who just don't like you, but whatever. Keep moving. Life on earth is a vapor. That's what the book of James says. It's a vapor. So one breath is too short to be used on people that don't want nothing to do with you. If you don't want something to do with me, that's all right. There's almost 8 billion people on the earth. Go find somebody to do something with. Most of all, get connected to somebody. You don't have to be connected to me. But we sure are glad you are. In Jesus' mighty name. Heard a great man of God say today in his own church. You know, listen, if I'm making you mad while I preach, and you don't want to change or see what I'm saying, that's okay. It's no big deal. Go somewhere where you're not mad. It seems like it's a difficult thing for people to get over. And don't worry, this is all free. I'm not charging you nothing for it. But we're going to start the morning out with John the Baptist is going to be beheaded. And why? Because there was people who hated him. And we learned it yesterday in our 1 hour of faith. That religious spirit, the purpose of that religious spirit is to kill the men of God. And it's been around since Noah, Enoch. I mean, first man of God that was killed was Abel in the garden. And he was killed for what? His offering was right and the other guy's was wrong. Just, as the old song goes, don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Either.
Anybody want to sing?
Don't worry.
Well, what a start to read the word. Here we go. We might as well get going. Well, let's make our confession. Hold your Bible up and just say it with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's word says.
I believe what God's word says.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
Because he is the great I am.
Because he is the great I am.
I receive this word tonight.
I receive this word today.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
Producing a hundredfold return and more.
In my life.
In my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Matthew 14 and Mark 6. Here we go. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus, said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. And therefore, these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter. Wicked people.
I know.
Wicked people. And the king was sorry, nevertheless, because of the oath, because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison. Isn't that so? And was brought a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And do not make your children sin sins like that. That's just... His disciples came and took away the body, buried it, and they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a deserted place by himself. I mean, this is his forerunner. This is his cousin. This is the man who was filled with the Holy Spirit as soon as Jesus walked in the room in Mary's womb.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, days of conception.
Knew each other pre-birth.
And of course, Jesus is in a human body having to face everything that you and I would face. And that's a severe deal. I believe he took the disciples and John's disciples with him to get away and just say, let's deal with this. Because that's the kind of leader that Jesus was. All right. 14. When Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and buy themselves food. Now, people followed Jesus for days at times. That was not unusual. But Jesus said to them, who's them? The disciples. He said to his disciples, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. To what? And they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Somebody was paying attention because they found out what they had. He said, bring them here to me. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed, broke, and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the multitudes. Now, 12 men given to 5,000 men, probably 15,000 to 20,000 people. I'm sure they enlisted some more help besides the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Each of you had 1,000 people to give to. I mean, you think about this. 5 loaves, 2 fish fed 20,000 people. Because if you got 5,000 men, you're going to have 5,000 women more than likely. And a couple of them are going to have kids. Some of them might even have 2 kids. And when dad went to see the preacher, everybody went. So they all ate and they were all filled. And they took up the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Verse 21. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up in the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And that's something. This is what Brother Ray was preaching this morning, a living word. So, since he was preaching it this morning at Living Word, this is fresh in my mind. The Sea of Galilee is 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. So if the boat was in the middle of the sea, that's 3.5 miles. Mm-hmm. Right? So look what it says. 23, and when he sent the multitudes away, went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Evening was come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. 3.5 miles. Oh, wait. Some people say, it must have been pretty tough for 3.5 miles. If you're walking on water, what difference does it make?
Yeah.
If you're walking on the water for 3.5 miles, what difference does the sea make? What, you climb up on a wave and jump off or something?
Well, that would be fun.
Is he riding them? Surfing? And wait, but see, the problem we have is, oh, Jesus is walking on the water, but we don't really stop and think about it. He had to walk 3.5 miles to get to him. The fourth night of the watch, Jesus went walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Peter jumped out of that boat with one word from Jesus, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, it just takes the word of God for all of us to be able to walk on the water. You got to hear the Father say, go, and it's going to go. A lot of times what happens in believers' lives is we hear God give us a plan and we just take off. But you might want to stay for a little bit and hear him say, go.
All right?
Or come. But here's the reality. One word from Jesus change your life forever.
Amen.
And Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And that needs to become our goal for our lives, is to live like Jesus lived.
Amen.
Verse 34. I could preach on this all night long, but I'm not going to do it. When they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. When the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. I like that, perfectly well.
Amen.
All right, Mark chapter 6. This has got a lot in it. It's okay, because it's all good. Let me get a drink of water. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters with us? So they were offended at him. Why? Familiarity.
Mm-hmm.
Familiarity is one of the worst offenses you can ever find. Because people begin to say, well, who do you think you are? Well, I'm just who God made me.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not. So Jesus had half brothers and sisters. So James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, four brothers, are not his sisters here with us. So there's at least two. So there's seven kids in this family. You and I can look and say, a good Jewish family had how many kids? And they fed 5,000 men? It could be upwards of 30,000 people that were there that ate off those five loaves and two fishes. And he's still moving. He's still proving who he is today. Verse 4, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own father's house. Right. They watch you grow up. Right? The day we live, they say, I changed your diaper.
Yeah.
Verse 5, now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about all the villages in a circuit teaching. Now, let's keep going. Verse 7, he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. And he commanded them, take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in your money belt, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. All right? Also, he said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Surely I say to you, it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Now, shaking your dust off your feet is a pretty serious deal.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it is something that Jesus tells us to do from time to time. He might tell you, shake your dust. It's messed up that has to happen to people, but when God sends you to people and they don't receive you, it's not your fault unless you're being obnoxious and you're not doing what God tells you to do or something. But you can't make somebody receive you.
Right.
You just can't. It just ain't happening. Anyways, where were they at?
12.
So they went out and preached. So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, anointed with oil many who were sick, and healed them. Now King Herod had heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead. And therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. Others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard this, he said, this is John, whom I have beheaded. He's come back from the dead. Well, you got it right, Herod. Jesus will come back from the dead at some point, but it ain't right now. All right. And it ain't John the Baptist. 17, for Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John said to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And, you know, he's just preaching the gospel, telling the truth, and Herodias is offended. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. So we're getting a little bit more of the story here,
mm-hmm.
right? And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Isn't that something? This wicked man, even though he had a wicked wife that was determined to kill John, he still heard him. And he heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those that sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." Gotta be careful who you watch it dancing. Don't watch anybody dancing. So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Wow, wicked. Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her, because their oaths meant that much. Because if he didn't abide by his oath, then they would begin to question whether he would abide by his oath. I mean, even Jesus said it, "Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay." So make your oath. If you mean it, if you say it, oh, don't look up because you lose your place. Put your finger in it. And the king was 27. Immediately, the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. He went and beheaded him in prison. Brought his head on a platter, gave it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. It just infuriates you.
Yes.
Infuriates you. It's where the Bible says, be angry. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. And don't sin, but be angry. It's all in the Bible. 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all these things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, "Come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. Interesting. So they departed to a desert place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, that one's capitalized, that's Jesus, they knew him, and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. So remember, Sea of Galilee, 7 miles wide, 2 miles long. And they're like, when Jesus leaves here, he's going there. They knew where his lake house was and where his mountain house was. You might not like me saying that, but that is the case that's going on here, okay? But wait, let me say this to you. To those of you that be offended thinking Jesus has a house, right? Now, there's plenty of verses in the New Testament that show it, and if you study it, you'll find them. However, just the very thought that our Father would send Jesus from heaven and send kings from a faraway nation, took them 2 years to get there, and they brought so much to him that they had to bring an army with them so that they weren't overtaken, to the point that Herod thought he was going to die. And so God brought all that to Jesus as an offering for a king, and then Jesus doesn't have a house? See, that doesn't even make intellectual sense to even think that way. But it's the doctrine of the church. So you got to get out of that, because that's a doctrine that will cause you to stay poverty stricken, broke, and confused, because it doesn't even make sense to think that way. Jesus had to suffer everything you and I have to suffer, but he doesn't get to have a house, so that he's got to suffer what we got to suffer with a leaky pump, you know, the lights don't work. Well, they didn't have that back then, you know. Now, see, it doesn't make sense. It's not even intellectual sense to even talk that way. Anyways, he had a lake house. He lived on the Sea of Galilee. And then he had a mountain place because it says he went to the mountain to pray often. All right, I'm done with that now. Let me say it differently. I'm trying to be done with it. All right. It's just when I see these things, it's like, wait a minute. I encourage you, just stop and think for a second. Open your mouth and say that confusing doctrine out loud. And most of them, you'll never believe another day. Just give me a mansion just over the hilltop. Give me a cabin just in the corner of glory. Read about heaven. That is not what's going to be in heaven. There's no trailer parks in heaven, like Brother Jesse says. So our God doesn't have a problem with this. The spirit of religion does. And now we're going back to the word. Verse number 34. And when Jesus came out of the house, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy for themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And he commanded them to make them all sit down in the groups on the green grass. They sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. That's a lot of food.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, how was that multitude of 20,000 people going to go into the surrounding village and find enough food? I mean, it ain't going to happen. Hold on just a second here. You got to deal with a moron. Well, everybody pause for a second. There we go. Hey, Phyllis K. Raymond's with us. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Phyllis.
Good to have you. All right, don't worry about that. Just a spammer over there on YouTube. We make spam out of spam. And if you want a really good, delicious breakfast, fry some spam, fry some green tomatoes, and then mix you up some eggs and pour them over top of them green tomatoes. It's amazing. You could even use bacon.
You can even just use the tomatoes.
Yeah, and we've been eating it. We had a whole bunch of green tomatoes, and it's just good. Oh, it's not our cooking program, though. Let's just read the word. Verse 37, he said, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "What?" And so 40, they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. When he'd taken the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fish he divided among them all for 20,000 people. That's a lot of dividing. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. It is amazing. That little boy went home with a harvest.
Oh, my.
45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. When he sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. 48, then he saw them straining at rowing. How could he see 3.5 miles? It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, because he's empowered by the Holy Spirit. So in a vision, in a gift of the Spirit, he saw them straining, for the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, 3.5 miles. And I love this, Mark, and would have passed them by. Why? Because you're all supposed to have enough faith by now. When they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure and marveled. For they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. Don't have a hard heart. When they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. When they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran through that whole surrounding region and began to carry about on beds those who were sick to wherever they heard he was. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Now, if you remember, in chapter 5, Jesus went across to the lake, to the same place, and the man had a legion of demons cast out of him. This is the same territory. So that man went and told his testimony. So when Jesus came back, everybody knew the testimony. And when they saw him, they're like, bring out all the sick people. That man had won his whole region to Jesus. Same people. It doesn't say his name here, but when you do the study of the actuality of where they went, that man went and reached, because what did Jesus say? Stay and tell the story. Stay and tell the story. Because he wanted to go with Jesus, but he said, no, stay and tell the story. He stayed and told the story. So when Jesus showed up, now the whole place is like, bring him out, because you're going to get healed today in Jesus' name. Don't you just love this?
Mm-hmm.
I love this program. We love to bring it to you. And, you know, there's so much more to be said, but we're keeping this at a level where you can do this every day in your devotions. And I encourage you. Click like, hit subscribe. Hit the bell so you're notified, so you're with us. And then remember, Read the Word is a playlist. I have created a playlist, and every time I make one of these, I add it to that playlist. So you can start in Genesis and come all the way through it. You know, people binge watch Star Trek or some of those movies like that. Just immerse yourself in the Word. Start in Genesis and come all the way through it. You'll be amazed at how much you grow spiritually in just your understanding of the Word of God. And, you know, next year when we go through the Bible, it's going to be totally different to us. It's going to be completely different to us because we've spent 365 days in the Word on purpose, very focused, and now our lives have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you focus on the word, your life does change. It really does change. Now, we want to make sure everybody's got an opportunity to know Jesus. If you came here tonight and you're like, wow, what's this all about? This is reading the Bible. This will save you so you can go in the rapture and you don't miss it and have to stay for the 7 years of tribulation. It'd be a mess. So, pray this prayer with us, no matter who you are. Maybe you're just coming back to God saying, I got to find an answer. This is the answer right here. God brought you here. Hang out. We're on here 7 days a week teaching the Word of God. And it's just teaching you to have faith. That's everything that we do. You ready to pray this prayer with me? Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my
life. And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Now here's your statement. Be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Forgive me of my sin.
Forgive me of my sin.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Put your hands out and say, I receive you into my life.
I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and mercy.
All of your grace.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the Word of God.
Understand the Word.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
language. And live a successful life. As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now I can tell that some of you, you're like, wow, what's going on? Jesus just came to live inside of you. And when he came, he brought the Father and the Holy Spirit with him. And they live in him. They're not way out there somewhere trying to get through your thick skull. They live right here in it, within you. And they're your resident teacher guiding you from the inside out from this day forward. What just happened? You went from darkness, sin, and death brings darkness to light. Your being's filled with light because Jesus is the light of the world. You went from fear to faith. Why? Because Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, now lives on the inside of you. You went from your sin, which you can't beat in your own strength anyways, to Jesus' righteousness, which is perfect, pure, and holy, and gives you the ability to overcome it all. And he made you a new creation, and he's adopted you into the family. And you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus, a minister of reconciliation and an ambassador of the kingdom. You might say, all of that in one day? Yeah, in one prayer. Why? Because if you were an heir of the richest billionaire in the world, who knows? There may be a trillionaire now. Anyways, and he wrote you a big check. It's all yours, even if you don't know how to take care of it. And if he left you houses and lands and ranches and farms and businesses, you wouldn't know everything about it when you first started, but they're still all yours. And that's what just happened. You just became a part. Adopted into the greatest family that has ever lived with God our Father being our Father.
Yeah.
Heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. What do I do now, Pastor? Walk with God every day. You keep coming back here, you'll hear me say this. Walk with God every day. When you wake up in the morning, you look up in that ceiling. Just say, Father, help me walk with you today. Everybody say, Father, help me walk with you today. And he will. Stop at lunch. Thank him for being with you. Talk to him all day long like he's your father because, well, he is. When you go to bed at night, lay down in your bed and say, how'd I do, Father? and he'll begin to talk to you. You'll know it right in here. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. And then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again. And every day when you wake up, just say, help me walk with you. And he will. And then connect with us. This is a pretty powerful program. And we've been doing this every single day since March the 20th of 2020. And ain't no stop in us. Because yeah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And we want to see you full of faith. Jesus' name. All right. I'll just keep talking. So, till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is Lord. All of our friends over here on Blog Talk Radio, if you want to get this in your native language, we want to help you do it. And God's given us the plan to show you how. So get in contact with us, shoot us an email, send us a picture of yourself so we can put you up here in our partner board and pray for you every day. In Jesus' mighty name. See you soon.